Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Here's Cole Thompson.
Matter what time zone you're in, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson back in the driver's seat, getting you caught up on everything you might have missed, getting into hump day. 800-224-2004. Call on the show. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you hate. Let's be real. You love everything about this show. We know that if you don't want to call in, that's totally cool. You can slide into my DMs. Give me a message. I'll read it on the air at Mr. Cole Thompson if you want to give me a follow on Twitter. The wonderful Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass producing. Fun hour planned ahead. Oh, my God. Do we have a lot to break down? The Daniel Jones era in Big Blue is officially over. What to make of the Seattle Seahawks quarterback battle going into week two of the preseason and the Cleveland Browns are pretty foolish for not at least exploring options for Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Right? Plus, it is Wednesday, which means it's buy or sell. But I start the hour off today with this. Sometimes when you're in conversations with people throughout the league, you usually hear some negative connotations. One that I'm hearing right now is the Texans are one of these few franchises that don't like to do scrimmages. I'll tell you what, guys. There's a lot of people right now who are doing the on-field scrimmages. Unless the Texans are going away, like they're playing in Minnesota or they're playing in Chicago, and you're up there for a week, you better be thankful that you're not coming down to Houston. Like right now, when you think about how big of a heat wave is going on, when you think about how limited the rain is around here, I would tell every single person that I know. I mean, every single person that I know. Don't come to Houston. Like, don't. It's a swamp. It's muggy. It's hot. It's humid. You're not going to survive. You're going to sweat everything off. You're not going to be around. You're eventually going to turn from, like, that popsicle on a nice, cool day into a giant old puddle. So, anyone out there who says the Texans are being foolish for not having camp here, you're wrong.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Yeah, he'll get, you know, as we get going here in terms of the preseason games, you know, we'll talk about whatever we think is best. But, you know, I have full confidence in Daniel and full confidence in Tyrod and what his role is. Each day we sit there, we evaluate the guys, but, you know, will he get a few reps here or there? He might.
That being brand new New York Giants head coach Brian Daboll, speaking of the role of the quarterback position going into week two of the NFL preseason. 800-224-2004, call on the show. It's Cole Thompson with Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's the reality, people. Let me just get this out of the way. Any single time you have a quote-unquote quarterback competition, for a guy who's going into year four of the league and isn't secure with his role, says all I need to know about his future. It says everything I need to know in one quick breath. The Daniel Jones experiment is done. I don't know if it's going to be done by week six. I don't know if it's going to be done by week 12. I don't know if it's going to be done in April of 2023. But don't think for one second that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, the new general manager, are looking at the 2023 draft and saying, that's where we find our next quarterback. That's where we find our next guy. That's where we add the next piece to the puzzle. Because that's what it comes down to. I mean, if you really want my honest opinion, that's what it comes down to. When you look at other QB battles going on in the NFL, There really are none. And the reason there are none is because if you know going into the season, we have our guy. Now, he may not be our guy after this year. He may not be our guy long term. But we have our guy going into this year. Consider this, if you will. Look at every other team right now going through a quarterback battle. It's the Carolina Panthers, who I understand why they have a quote-unquote quarterback battle. You didn't have a guy in Baker Mayfield show up until July, so he's still getting acclimated to the roster, but Baker Mayfield's going to be the starting quarterback for most, if not all, of the 2022 season. And then you have the Seattle Seahawks, who we'll talk about in a little bit, because I don't want to go too far into detail just yet, but I do want to bring that up. That is something to keep a close eye on, because you know that that battle is a little bit different than every other one. Daniel Jones has lost the locker room. Daniel Jones has lost the respect of his coaches, and Daniel Jones certainly has a target on his back going into the regular season. He's just not the guy. And you know what? I think we all knew he wasn't the guy from the get-go, except for Dave Gettleman. When that pick was selected back in 2019, we all dropped the jaw because everyone was wondering who's the one team that's going to go out and draft Daniel Jones between the Giants' first pick at number 6 and the Giants' second pick at number 17. The bottom line was there was nobody. You know, there's been a lot of executives that have come out and said, we liked Daniel Jones as a late first-round pick. We like Daniel Jones as an early second-round pick. Nobody said, we like Daniel Jones as a top 10 selection. And you know what? Where you are selected also does speak volume. If you're a top 15 player and you end up playing like a top 15 talent, nobody's going to bat an eye when you have a successful year. If you're drafted at the start of the second round and you struggle a little bit, well, no one's going to say, oh, well, this guy has to be a franchise player. No, you're a second-round player. You're a role player. That's what your role is going into the season. But if you're a top 10 selection, folks, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. You can be an average left tackle. But if you're a cornerstone for an organization, you're at least in a better spot than you are if you were to, say, be a top 15 selection and a bust. If you're a top 10 player and a bust, you're an absolute failure when it comes to the overall selection process. That's where you are with Daniel Jones. Jones has struggled with consistency. He has struggled with the turnovers. He has struggled with balance. He has struggled with his ability to read a defense. And even with the brand new offensive staff coming in, guys like Mike Kafka, who's worked in the past with Patrick Mahomes, guys like Brian Daboll, who's worked in the past with Josh Allen, the same flaws that you saw underneath Jason Garrett's led offense, the same ones you're seeing right now. That's an indictment on Daniel Jones. That's all you need to know. Spoke to a buddy of mine not too long ago who was at Giants camp. They said there are days where it actually looks like Daniel Jones is getting worse. The reason they brought Tyrod Taylor in was because that they knew he could steer the ship in case of any bit of situation or any bit of regression. Here we are. We're seeing the regression. Now, of course, you know that Brian Daboll's not going to come out and say, oh, we're going to not give the job to Daniel Jones. He can't do that. You want to sell the season. You want to get fans in the seats. You want to say that there's at least some potential. You got to say that Daniel Jones has the opportunity to be a starter. But I'll tell you what. You look at Tua Tagovailoa in Miami right now. He's absolutely crushing it in practice. And when he has a bad day in practice, one bad throw. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Michael, ladies and gentlemen, the sky is falling. It's the end of the world. We're done. It's over. You want to know what the same thing is for Daniel Jones? When Daniel Jones has a good day in practice. Oh my God, the sky is falling. Oh my God, the world's ending. Oh my God, it's over. It's the same thing, except it's coming from a positive standpoint. When Tua has a bad day in camp, we think that it is just a done deal. When Daniel Jones has a good day in camp, we're surprised. When that happens, you know that you've lost the locker room. You know that you've lost respect. You know that you've lost your starting job. You know that you are in a negative place. You are. And there's a lot of good quarterbacks going into next year's draft. You have C.J. Stroud from Ohio State. You have Bryce Young from Alabama. You have Tyler Van Dyke from Miami. You have Will Levis from Kentucky. Anthony Richardson's a name that everyone seems to be really hyping. I need to see more of it, but he's coming from Florida. You have a little bit of an older guy like a Spencer Rattler from South Carolina, a Hendon Hooker from Tennessee. You have some names. You have a lot of names that are potentially going to be available. And here's another one. If you really want to pay the top-tier dollar for a guy like maybe a Mitch Trubisky if he gets released, or you want to go ahead and get a Jimmy Garoppolo for, let's say, instead of a $27.5 million deal for 1 year, you get 2 years, $36 million, maybe paying about $16.5 a year, something along those lines, $17.5. You feel comfortable paying that. You can get the job done and then draft a quarterback, say, in round two. You can feel very comfortable with that aspect. But when I look right now, I know that the Daniel Jones experiment's over. It really should have never began. Because again, the only person who Daniel Jones was ever proving that he belonged in that first round top 10 conversation was a GM that was the only person drinking the Kool-Aid at the punch table saying, this is the best flavor. This is the best option. We all knew what Daniel Jones was. We knew what he was 2 years ago. And now the new front office is seeing the exact same thing. He may play first 7 games of the season. He may play the first 9 games of the season. He may play the entire year. But do not think for 1 second, bearing an all-pro caliber season, leading New York deep into the playoffs, Daniel Jones is the future of New York Giant football. His days are numbered in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And unfortunately for him, part of the reason why is where he was selected. Speaking of selections, what to make of the draft picks that are likely staying in Cleveland because the Browns are going to believe in Jacoby Brissett versus a Jimmy Garoppolo. 800-224-2004. This segment brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. In short, it does a lot of things. Bundle today at Progressive.com. So, according to reports from Ian Rappaport, so you know that that's an actual credible source. I like to think so. You know, NFL Network, Insider, does a pretty good job at that role. The Browns are not interested in trading for Jimmy Garoppolo. They feel that with the Deshaun Watson suspension coming up, they would rather run it with Jacoby Brissett until further notice. Now, again, Watson currently is facing a 6-game suspension. I understand not going for a Jimmy Garoppolo in a 6-game suspension. At that point, if Jacoby Brissett can get to do a 2-4 and 3-3 record, Watson is going to be able to win you some games. I have no doubt about it. Watson's going to be able to come in. I know he had a bad preseason. Maybe that was just rusting off a little bit of rust, you know, whatever you want to call it. He's just knocking off all the debris that's on him. A lot of negative connotation with him, so don't really want to go much more into him. But you get my point. He's going to be able to get you some wins. Jacoby Brissett can get you wins in a 6-game span. But say Watson gets suspended 8 games. All right, well, maybe he can get you 4 wins. Well, 12 games. All right, now it's getting a little bit more tough. What if it's a year and you don't have a first-round pick or a third-round pick next year? So you're picking top 10. That pick's going to Houston. You're picking in the third round somewhere between 64 and 72. Okay, well, that's going to Houston. You understand the point? You get a guy like Jacoby Brissett in there, you're likely just chalking up the season as a loss. And you very well could do that. I mean, Kevin Stefanski won't be in jeopardy of losing his job this season. Andrew Berry won't be in jeopardy of losing their job this season. And the other thing is that you're not paying Watson anything. It's a $1 million contract. But Jimmy Garoppolo, who can get you wins, Jimmy Garoppolo, who maybe is a little bit more balanced, Jimmy Garoppolo, who I think maybe has a little bit more upside than some other players at the position. Again, I still view Jimmy Garoppolo as a top 25 quarterback. I do. I think he's probably more so in that 22 to 24 range, but you can win with that. Need more proof? The guys who I have listed around him, Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, kind of that same category. One's been to a Super Bowl. One has been deep in the playoffs. Both look like MVPs at one point. So you can absolutely win with Jimmy Garoppolo. But let's just humor me real fast and say, going into the regular season, they have 12-game suspension for Deshaun Watson. Just humor me. So they would start the year off against Carolina, New York, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Los Angeles, New England, Baltimore, Cincinnati, the bye, They would then have Miami, Buffalo, and Tampa Bay before Deshaun Watson would be able to come back. That's 12 games. So we're just going 12 games. How many of those games do you think Jacoby Brissett is the best quarterback on that field? Just the best. I would say maybe one. And that would be on September 18th with a Joe Flacco-led New York Jets team. Not a Zach Wilson New York Jets-led team. A Joe Flacco-led New York Jets team. How many of those would be an argument that maybe Jacoby Brissett can go toe-to-toe with a quarterback? But maybe three games? For sure in the New York against the likes of Joe Flacco. I'd go Pittsburgh maybe against Mitch Trubisky or Kenny Pickett just because we have no idea what Trubisky's going to look like and Pickett still is a rookie. Maybe Atlanta with Marcus Mariota or Desmond Ridder. That's about it. Like to me, that's it. Because you look at every other game. Carolina, Baker Mayfield, I'd take Baker. Los Angeles, Justin Herbert, I'd take Justin Herbert. New England, Mac Jones, I'd take Mac Jones. Baltimore and Cincinnati. By the way, those games, it happens twice. So, Baltimore, I easily take Lamar Jackson. I easily take Joe Burrow. I easily take Tua. I easily take Josh Allen. I easily take Tom Brady. I don't see a matchup where Jacoby Brissett is the clear-cut favorite in any one of these games. So what does that tell me? What does that say? If they're going to run it with Jacoby Brissett, they're fine being about a sub-500 team, hitting the reset button, and trying to build for the future. And they could do that. They absolutely could. But I look at this roster, I look at the defense, I look at the weapons, I look at the offensive line outside of center, I look at the run game, the addition of Jerome Ford. Cleveland can win. Cleveland can win. They just need the right quarterback. Deshaun Watson, much I don't like him, is the right quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo is a stable enough quarterback to get you through the Deshaun Watson suspension if it is 12 games or more. Coming up next, do the Seattle Seahawks still have a quarterback battle on hand? Or is it time to throw in the towel and just say Geno Smith's the starter? We'll talk about that right here on Just Saying It, part of the Sports Map Radio Network. With their newest unlimited plan, everyone's welcome. Introducing Welcome Unlimited from Verizon for just $30 a line per month for four lines with autopay plus tax and fees. Their best price unlimited plan ever. For real. $30 a line for the whole family. The network you want, the price you love, switch to Verizon today. Paper-free billing required, unlimited 5G nationwide 4G LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphones on the lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited and are eligible only for select promotions, include domestic talk, text, and data usage only. Data roaming at 2G speeds.
We're getting ready for the ball game. We had planned, back in the... before the offseason even started, to get to this game and the second game, and Geno would be the starter in Lumen in the opening game, and then we would go through in the second game. So that's what we're trying to follow that if we can.
That being Seattle Seahawks coach Pete Carroll discussing the quarterback battle going up in the Pacific Northwest. 800-224-2004. It's Cole Thompson with Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. So let's talk about this for a second. Kind of like we're now seeing with New York, and I guess you can say somewhat what we're seeing with Carolina, there is a quarterback competition going on in Seattle. The problem is that, in my opinion, you have a quarterback in Drew Lock who struggled with consistency, he struggled with balance, he struggled with putting up the same amount of reps, he struggled with turnovers, and he's going into a contract year. If he hasn't shown it at this point, it's very hard for me to believe that he's ever going to show it. So I'm not sure if I can believe in him as the franchise starting quarterback and the long-term heir apparent for Russell Wilson at Lumen Field. The other problem is that you have a 31-year-old Geno Smith who's barely played the last 4 years of his career. Last season, he did fill in for Russ. Russ missed three games. Geno played in those three games. Seattle struggled immensely in all three of those games. One of which they almost won, but they dropped at the last second. Neither option is a good option. Neither option is going to get you far. And neither option is going to probably take you to the postseason. If you're not going to the postseason this year, it's time to hit the reset button. And when I say hit the reset button, I mean hit the reset button in every way possible. Doesn't mean just with the quarterback. Doesn't mean with just some people on the offensive line. doesn't mean with just them people in the front office. I mean everything. If you had to hit every single reset button to get the team in the right direction, you have to do it. And this is the year. This truly is the year. When I look at a guy like Pete Carroll, for all that he's done for the game of football, both at the professional level and at the collegiate level, there comes a point where I sit here and say, you have got to go ahead and call quits. Because the last thing I want to do if I'm Pete Carroll is ruin my legacy for all I've done in the positive standpoint over the last decade. Think about this. Russell Wilson spent the last 10 years making a name for himself in Seattle. The year before, there were rumors and rumblings that was Pete Carroll's last year. If he did not get good play out of Matt Flynn, if he did not get quality play out of Russell Wilson, should he actually be the starter? You know what? We're going to move off him. We have a young quarterback. Maybe there's some potential there. We'll go ahead. We'll get in a young, innovative mind. Figure it out. Russ goes off. Russ has one of the best seasons we've seen for a rookie quarterback. He beats out Matt Flynn in training camp. Lo and behold, it's the start of the Pete Carroll era. It's time to call it quits. It really is. You don't want to be a part of a rebuild. At 71 years old right now, soon to be 72, who wants to be a part of a rebuild? More specifically, let me ask you something, Michael. Let me ask you something, audience. What is better? Playing for a young, hip coach who you're seeing the way the game is elevated, the game is changing, and he's able to go ahead and figure out those little nuances that old school coaches aren't going to change because they're so set in their ways, thus hurting your production? Or go with the old school guy because, hey, tradition, hey, love it. Love the old school style. Michael, you ever see the TV show How I Met Your Mother?
Yes.
Have you ever heard Barney Stinson's slogan? Not legendary, there's another one.
I don't know the other one.
New is always better. New is always better because it's more exciting. It's more enticing. I'll tell you what. I try to never go ahead and repeat myself on this show throughout the week because if I want to give you new content. Why is that, Michael? Say it with me, audience. New is always better. And you want to know why new is always better? Because if you always are on the toes, you're always moving. Say it with me one more time. New is always better. That's just the case. You're not going to be able to sell me on a 72-year-old old school style coach when there's young, innovative minds out there. And this is a good, balanced, young, foundational roster with this last draft. I loved Seattle's draft class. And if this is the one that John Schneider goes out on, he goes out on a very positive note. You get two young potential offensive tackles in Abe Lucas in the third round and Charles Cross in the first round. You get a very good pass rusher in Boye Mafe. I loved Boye Mafe's tape when he was coming out of Minnesota. You get a good, balanced running back in Kenneth Walker, who's expected to have a monumental role with this organization going into year one, so much so they believe that he's going to take over as the lead back in favor of Rashad Penny. You add in some good depth pieces. I love the addition of Bo Melton. I think Tariq Woolen is a very good cornerback. I think Kobe Bryant is going to be a starter week one. There is foundational pieces for a young core to be in place, not to mention you have Damian Lewis on the offensive line. That's a good young player to build around. You have DK Metcalf locked in. You have Tyler Lockett locked in. You have some good pieces. You have Quandre Diggs locked in and Jamal Adams locked in. It's not as if this is going to take that long to rebuild. The two things you need are a young, innovative coach to get the better play out of your overall talent and a young, hip quarterback. Say it with me one more time. New is always better. And I'll tell you what, Pete Carroll's legacy is forever secure in Seattle. He has nothing to worry about. But I'll tell you what else. If you're having a quarterback battle between Geno Smith and Drew Locke, that's all you need to know about the future of your team. Let's go!
Just Saying It continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Time to find out what Cole's buying.
You bought it.
That's right, I bought it.
And selling.
Sell.
In the world of sports.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Here's Cole Thompson with Buy or Sell.
All Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stone? Well, what's the worst that can happen? You can end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is that your reaction times are slower when you're high. And not only are you putting yourself in danger, but you're putting everyone else around you in danger. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel of a car. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Overreactions. Oh boy, we have this happen every single year. One certain team or one certain player has a big, big week in preseason game one, you know, where the starters play a handful of reps, some maybe play a quarter at the most, and we think we know the outcome for the remainder of the season. So today, and basically throughout the rest of the entire preseason, we're going to go ahead and break down the biggest overreactions, underreactions, or properly reactions for the 2022 season. So these were the top 12 big overreactions I saw trending on Twitter. I heard from other reporters. I read about, and I want to go ahead and break them down. So here we go. Buy or sell over underreactions of week one of the NFL preseason. Michael, what's our first option?
The Carolina Panthers will actually consider starting Sam Darnold at QB week one.
Sell. I mean, like, let's be real. You know what you have with Sam Darnold. You brought in Baker Mayfield, and I know that you barely spent anything on him. It was a day three selection. You're only paying, what is it, I think $4 million or even less than that to bring him on. Baker took on a $3 million pay cut just to leave Cleveland. He's going in to start. And the reality factor is that when you look at how Baker's played with guys like DJ Moore and other weapons in the passing attack, you have to go with him because you already know what the downside is and what the potential is of Sam Darnold. You would feel comfortable naming Sam Darnold your starter for the entire season back in the offseason. And if you didn't, well, then you wouldn't have added in Baker Mayfield. Like, also add this in mind. You drafted Matt Corral in the third round. You kept Sam Darnold after his woes last year. And you still traded for Baker Mayfield. What does that tell you? You are starting Baker Mayfield. And a guy like Matt Rhule, who is absolutely, in my opinion, the clear-cut number one coach on the hot seat, can't be wasting his season on this wishy-washy, will I go with Baker, will I go with Sam? You're going Baker. We know you're going Baker. You don't need to go ahead and try and play this out. You don't need to go ahead and say, oh, we're exploring all avenues. No, you're going with Baker. Stop wasting your time. Stop wasting your breath. We know on Thursday night will be the very first preseason game. Guess what else we know? That will be the day when Baker Mayfield shows he is the full-time starter. Sell it, there is even a quarterback competition.
Running back Josh Jacobs is on the trading block for the Las Vegas Raiders.
I sell again. Listen, Las Vegas is a team that I believe is actually going to contend for the likes of a potential playoff spot, even though they have a new staff, even though they have a new offense, even though they added in some new pieces. One of the main things that you have is a 1-2 combination of Davante Adams in the passing attack and Josh Jacobs in the run game. Now, the other thing I will say is that New England runs a very similar concept to Las Vegas now in the running back by committee. Why is that? The old OC, Josh McDaniels, is the head coach in Las Vegas. So you're going to have drives where there's certain roles meant for Kenyon Drake, like there were Ramondre Stevenson, where there were certain roles meant for Damian Harris, like they are for Josh Jacobs. There were certain roles meant for James White, like there are for Zamir White, the fifth-round pick out of Georgia. I don't think that Josh Jacobs is in the long-term plan right now for Las Vegas, but Damian Harris isn't in the long-term plan right now for New England. So to me, when I look at that, doesn't mean that you're going to go ahead and move off him. It just means that maybe his role is going to be a little bit more diminished. But the only way for Las Vegas to be a viable contender is for them to have a very balanced run game. You have that with Josh Jacobs. You have that with the options of Kenyon Drake and Zamir White behind him. But you need a lead back. That's what Josh Jacobs does. You have Davante Adams. You have Derek Carr. You have Darren Waller. You know that there's some pieces offensively for your weaponry to be extremely good. Why would you give up a player who in the last 2 years still has tallied over 1,200 total yards of scrimmage? You're not going to do that. He's on the trading block. Sell.
The Dallas Cowboys are in trouble with their inability to stop recording penalties.
Buy. I absolutely buy this one. I do not see this team being disciplined this year. And you know what else? We've talked about this on the show, 800-224-2004. Michael, how many times have I said that the Dallas Cowboys are not going to be in my playoff predictions?
All the time.
You want to know why? Because of the discipline. Like, I understand that you got rid of players with really horrendous contracts. Lyle Collins, Amari Cooper. You let Randy Gregory walk with all of his suspensions on and off with how much you've given him over time to kind of figure his stuff out. We know what you've done. But that doesn't mean that your team got better. You let go of Connor Williams. You let him walk in free agency because you want to go ahead and upgrade from a guy who causes a ton of penalties. What'd you do? You draft Tyler Smith, who coming out of college was the most penalized player in the FBS level last season with 14 total penalties. You didn't get any better. Your team got less disciplined. Your team added less talent, and your team found players who basically are replacing the production of the players that you were paying top dollar for, but they're very unrefined. There's a lot to get to go with. This is a team, when you look going into the season, felt as if they could be the clear-cut favorites to win the NFC East. Now, to me, it's easily Philadelphia. And then there's actually a question, is Washington better off as the number two team versus Dallas as the number two team? Time will tell, but I look at this roster, I look at how it's built, I look at the players that they added, how many penalties were in that game, with players, and this is the big one, with players who we know are going to have to be X factors during the regular season. I don't see it. I simply don't see it. It's not going to pan out. It's not going to be good easily for me. This is 100% a buy. I do not see it happening in Dallas this year.
The Pittsburgh Steelers will lean more towards QB Kenny Pickett as a week one starter.
No, I sell this one. You brought in Mitch Trubisky for the reason of you need to get veteranship. You want to stabilize your quarterback room. That's what you have with Trubisky. And while I think Kenny Pickett at some point this year will take over as the full-time starter, it's not going to be week one. When I look at week one, the consistency, the balance of what you have with Trubisky, his connection so far with Deontay Johnson has been on point. He's looked extremely talented working alongside with Chase Claypool. He seems to have a very nice rapport with tight end Pat Freiermuth. Don't ruin the connection. Like, don't ruin the connection early. Until there comes a moment where either you know this is not your year in Pittsburgh, or he starts throwing interceptions, causing turnovers left and right, or an injury occurs, don't rush Kenny Pickett. Pickett, very, very, very good game against a third-team defense on last Saturday. Easily. Very good game. But the one thing I do want to see from Pickett moving forward is his ability to extend plays downfield. Longest throw of the night, 6.8 yards through the air. 6.8 is not going to cut it in the pros. It may cut it in college because of the level of defenses that you're going up against, but it will not cut it in the pros. I cannot see Kenny Pickett starting week one, so I sell that one.
The Chicago Bears are in trouble, but have a top 10 QB wide receiver pairing in Justin Fields and Darnell Mooney.
I'll sell, but here's the thing. By the end of the year, I will not be shocked to see this actually come true. Because if you look at these stat lines, last year, Darnell Mooney finished with over 1,000 receiving yards. That placed him at number 19 in the NFL. He finished with over 80 catches. That placed him at 20th in the NFL. He averaged 13.3 yards per catch. That placed him inside the top 40 in the NFL. And he right now is the only proven commodity at the position. Listen, I love Velus Jones. And I think Velus Jones is going to be a really interesting player. I think that Daz Newsome, this former sixth-round pick out of North Carolina, is going to have a role inside the slot. But this is a one-man show, in my opinion. And it's Darnell Mooney. And if you go back and you watch that game on Saturday with Chicago, I'll tell you what. You see the value. You see the upside. You see the potential. This, in time, could absolutely be the best wide receiver quarterback combination in the NFC North, not named Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins. I already think that it could already be there, but you could start seeing some level of competition with that. The consistency of what we're seeing from the route running of Mooney, the balance of his hands, his overall demeanor when it comes to running routes, and the trust factor that Justin Fields has in him, I think there's something that has some value there. I really do. I'm not going to say going into the season right now, they're a top 10 duo, But by the end of the season, you see another year of 85 catches, 1,000 yards receiving, maybe 5-6 touchdowns. Yeah, I'd buy it. I would absolutely buy it. They are a top 10 duo going into 2023.
The Atlanta Falcons have a real QB battle on their hands with Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder.
I will sell for week one, but I buy for the long-term season. I loved what I saw from Desmond Ridder. I know what everyone's saying right now about how Kenny Pickett stole the show late in the fourth quarter against the Seattle Seahawks. Desmond Ridder did it on 2 days' notice. Like, Desmond Ridder on Friday did the same thing. And he looked poised. He looked accurate. He was able to move the ball deeper downfield. All those traits that we're saying about Kenny Pickett, I saw more from Desmond Ridder. I saw better decision-making. I saw more velocity. I saw more downfield throws. I saw him take a little bit more risk. And Marcus Mariota absolutely should start week one because if he has that balance and consistency with Coach Arthur Smith. But I think the leash is a lot shorter on him than it is Mitchell Trubisky simply because Atlanta's rebuilding. They're trying to figure out, is there an option on the team right now for a long-term starter? Because if not, they're going to have to use an early draft pick on adding in a quarterback. Or they're going to have to spend top-tier money for a guy like a Jimmy Garoppolo or maybe like a Jameis Winston if they release him or a Baker Mayfield to be the starter for a year while you draft a quarterback in round two or round three or maybe just wait another year for Caleb Williams or Quinn Ewers or one of these other quarterbacks to come out. Like, that's kind of the reality factor of a team such as Atlanta. So I believe that there is a quarterback battle. I just don't believe there's a quarterback battle week one. So sell in the short, buy in the long.
The Houston Texans have a potential 1,000-yard running back in Damian Pierce.
I sell 1,000 yards, but here's what I buy. They do have a franchise-caliber running back. That, to me, I do buy. And why do I buy it? Well, they have not had this much balance and consistency in its backfield since Carlos Hyde in 2019. The last time Houston had a balanced running back for the full back-to-back years, so actually back-to-back seasons, came in 2015 in Arian Foster's last season. There's a little bit of power. There's a little bit of zip. There's great vision. There's balance. There's hard-press yards after contact. There's a lot that a guy like Damian Pierce adds to the backfield. But the problem is, Houston's going to be a running back by committee, just based off the New England approach, which means Marlon Mack is going to get his carries, which means Rex Burkhead is going to get his carries. So I don't see Damian Pierce getting 1,000 yards. What I do see is him leading the team in rushing touchdowns, and I do see him leading the team in yards after contact. So sell 1,000. I see more like 675, maybe even 800 at the most, but I buy that he is the best running back in Houston, and I buy that he will rush for 1,000 yards before his rookie contract is up.
The verdict is out on Jalen Hurts. He is the franchise QB for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I kind of buy it. I really do. The way that Nick Sirianni continues to work with him, the way that he has been so balanced, going 6-6 in the preseason, there's a level of trust factor he has with Devonta Smith. He already has that relationship with A.J. Brown. Dallas Goedert has looked extremely well working alongside as the new number one tight end. I think that you need to add in another third receiver. Maybe it's Zach Pascal. Maybe it is Jalen Reagor. But there's so much balance and there's so much of like a trust factor with all these players and Jalen Hurts. Why not buy into it? Honestly, I do not see why you do not buy into Jalen Hurts as your potential franchise starting caliber quarterback. The team loves him. The coaches love him. The franchise seems to get along with him. And here's the big one, the fans love him. So until further notice, yeah, I see enough right now to say you can get a deal done with Jalen Hurts long term so long as he limits the turnovers and he starts moving the ball downfield a little bit more with his arm than he does with his legs. There you have it. Buy or sell right here on Just Saying It, part of the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
A name that we didn't get to bring up in buy or sell that I do want to talk to you guys about just for a quick second, if I could. Romeo Doubs, The 6'2", 204-pound receiver out of Nevada, drafted in the fourth round of the 2022 NFL Draft, has absolutely shown why he has the potential of being a number one receiver for the likes of Green Bay moving forward. 800-224-2004. So if you go back and you look at his tape coming out of Nevada, he actually grew up, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in Southern California. But every year, he at least finished with over 40 catches. Every year, he averaged at least 13 yards per play. Every year, he caught at least two touchdowns. And in back-to-back seasons, he finished with over 1,000 receiving yards. Not only that, he is a stellar route runner. Like, he has been phenomenal with his route running since his early days at Nevada. And also, since arriving in Green Bay, he has been the most consistent when coming to you with yards after the catch. He has been the team's most consistent route runner in space. And he has been working up against the number one and number two corner in practice, winning reps on the daily. Why is that important? You're replacing Davante Adams. I can tell you what, there's a good shot. Romeo Doubs is that guy.